Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's just another manic Monday. Although it happened to be the only day of the week with no NCAA basketball games. Literally the only night this week, Monday, with no March Madness. It's here. It's super here. It's not going away for weeks. I just saw this tweet that piqued my interest. In fact, I replied to it. But it was, I get this one or two tweets every spring about this time. This comes from Joe. How many Americans can name at least one player on each of the top 20 college basketball teams? None, which isn't accurate. But he says none, yet everyone feigns interest in the tournament. Why? Well, the fact is, you don't have to know a single soul or be able to recognize a single face in college basketball, and you can still enjoy the tournament. My family is testament to that. Why do we feign, quote-unquote, interest in this tournament? Because it's sheer perfection. It's bottled up in a format that we can all appreciate. You're bombarded with drama and excitement, tension, everything that we love about sports. So it doesn't matter if you know who the players are or not. And it's all accessible on multiple platforms. Plus, there's betting, let's be honest. That's one major reason why people feign interest in the NCAA tournament, because they put money down. So I hope that you have filled out multiple brackets. If you haven't, no time like the present. We've got the After Hours Bracket Challenge, and it's available either on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. And look for the link that's pinned to the top of each of those social media sites. And tonight's question that we'll throw out there as we say, get behind me, Manic Monday. Oh, I had one of those too. It was a Manic Monday. And it was capped off by the fact that we've had a jackhammer going nonstop on the floor above us here at CBS Sports Radio for the last hour. More than the last hour, but the last hour was when I was painfully aware that I could not escape it. It has stopped for the moment, but who's to say it won't return? Maybe the operator of said jackhammer is taking a smoke break, and very soon jackhammer will fire up again. No idea what they're jackhammering, but I know when I went into the bathroom, it felt like they were coming through the ceiling. It was so loud that the toilet was vibrating. No, I just made that up, but it sounded good. Anyway, it was really loud. And so it has stopped for the second, but I can't promise you that anything I read or prepped or listened to in the last hour is actually still in my brain. I feel as though it may have been pounded out of my brain, as a matter of fact. Plus, poor Dave is sick. So I'm glad it's Chris who's sitting next to him in the room and that we have double pane glass between us, Dave. As much as I love you, you stay in there. Because I don't have time to be sick. Neither do you. You have 17 children, but I don't have time to be sick either because there are 17 basketball games per second this week. So here's our question as we say, go away Monday. Hello, Tuesday. What's your best advice, your best method for filling out your bracket when it comes to March Madness? Now, be honest. You think you figured it out, haven't you? This is the year when you're going to win it all. Whether it's the After Hours Bracket Challenge, in which you get to join us for a future edition of Ask Amy Anything, live right here on the show, or whether you're playing for millions of dollars in cash and prizes, every year you think you've got it figured out. Is it chalk? Is it the teams you know? Is it odds? Do you check out the Vegas odds? Although now it doesn't have to be Vegas. It could be a number of other states around the country. Is it mascots? Is it colors? Again, just be honest. My mom has a variety of methods that she uses for filling out her bracket. My niece goes with the schools she knows. And then the rest is just straight chalk, higher seeds. And I'm telling you, they generally do better than I do in the bracket challenges. I get stuck in my analysis. I overanalyze everything in my life, forget just sports, but I overanalyze the tournament as well, and it does not serve me well. And so that's our Twizzler Tuesday question, even though for many of us it's still Monday. That jackhammer put me back into last Monday, for heaven's sakes. What is your best advice for filling out your tournament bracket? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. The link is on my Twitter as well, so super easy to join us in the Bracket Challenge. My mom's husband was letting everyone know that the Family Bracket Challenge was live and that we need to fill out our brackets. He's the administrator. And he's also the nag. He's the one that keeps reminding us. And somehow he keeps roping in other family members that I've never heard of. So the Family Bracket Challenge keeps getting bigger. And there's people that we don't speak to on a regular basis. There's no money on the line either, so I'm not sure what he's doing. It's not like it's a poll, but he enjoys it. So you can find that on my Twitter, but also send us your best advice for filling out your bracket. And if it's quirky, all the better. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We're excited to have the Colgate men's basketball coach on this edition of the show, Matt Langle. He's got his Raiders into the big dance for the first time in more than 20 years. And I was telling you last night how much we love the stories of appreciation, the stories of hard work and blood, sweat, and tears. And I don't mean to say that Duke and UNC and Virginia and Gonzaga and Michigan State and the other elites in college basketball don't work hard. But they have a built-in system that helps them because of the difficulty of their conference schedule. Now, do they also schedule difficult non-conference games? Sure. In many cases, they do. But it's an uphill climb for a lot of mid-majors because, A, many of them play in one-bid leagues, and B, it's hard to find non-conference teams that will play them, especially if you're a good team. If you're a good mid-major team, a lot of the power conference schools refuse to schedule you because they realize it's a pretty much a lose-lose situation for them. Even if they win the game, they don't get a whole lot of bounce to their resume. But if they lose to your team, oh, well, that's a major blight on their resume. And I hear this from coaches all the time at mid-major conferences and programs. And so they really embody the spirit of what March Madness is all about. Survive in advance. Win and get in. And coming from the Patriot League, the Colgate Raiders, they're an incredible story. And Coach Langle's been there 8 years, and they finally have finished on top of their league and are a 15 seed taking on the 2 in Tennessee. I love to present you all these stories of underdogs and potential Cinderellas because you never know. One of the coaches that we speak to might end up being the coach that leads a team completely from nowhere into, say, the Final Four, like Loyola Chicago. Awesome. So we'll hear from Colgate men's basketball coach Matt Langle a little bit later on. And before we shift to the NBA, because we've got news from the NBA, I don't know if you saw this or if you pay attention. The selection show for women's basketball was Monday, and here's what stands out. The UConn women, a number 2 seed, for the first time in 13 years. And in case you don't know what that means, it means they've been a 1 seed for every season going back to 2006. Actually, if you want to search for some Gino Auriemma reaction, that would be great, Chris. So the UConn women are a number 2 seed for the first time since 2006. They're in the same region as the same Albany region as Louisville. Now, Louisville is one of the only 2 teams to beat UConn this season. So UConn has a 31-2 record and is still a 2 seed. That should tell you about the strength of women's college basketball, especially at the top. It's a wide open field. And you may remember the last two Final Fours, UConn has lost in overtime. And so they won four titles in a row before that, but the Huskies the last two seasons were upset in overtime in the Final Four. Not that that carries over. It's not why they're a 2 seed. It's really more about the fact that Mississippi State finished strong. And so your top seeds in women's basketball, Baylor, who's the overall number one, the defending champ Notre Dame, Mississippi State, and Louisville. And again, Louisville is one of the only two teams to beat the Huskies this year. The other team to beat UConn was Baylor. And both of those losses came on the road. So just because UConn is a 2 seed doesn't mean they aren't a very strong contender. It's just interesting, almost jarring to see them as a 2 seed as opposed to a 1 seed at 31-2. It's good. I've said this for years. Gino Auriemma and the success of the UConn Huskies has forced the rest of women's college basketball to try harder, in essence. Try harder, figure out a way to get better. If you want to compete with the best, you've got to beat the best. If you want to be the best, you've got to beat the best, I guess is what I should have said. You know me and my cliches. I like to mix them up and keep you on your toes. So it should be a fun women's basketball tournament as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Hey, the NBA has madness of its own, and we'll get to the top storylines from the association coming up. But in case you're wondering, the longest shot, successful shot made in the NBA this year just happened on Monday night.
Curry with it with 1 second. Three-quarter court, good if it goes. It's on the way. It's banked in! He banked it in! Of course he makes that shot! Curry banked it in from three-quarter court. There's no doubt it's good. And that's how the quarter ends. And we're tied at 25.
Now, that was first quarter of the Warriors game against the Spurs. Steph Curry, and it was measured at 61 feet, is the proud owner of the longest shot made in the NBA this season. However, that wasn't a game winner. As I say, it was in the first half. The Spurs are on some kind of a win streak. They're up to fifth place in the West now, and that includes taking down the defending champs. So we've got the San Antonio Spurs. We've got the Denver Nuggets doing something they haven't done since 2013. We've also got a milestone moment for one Dirk Nowitzki in year number 21. So that's coming up with our basketball countdown. Again, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. What's your best advice, your best method for filling out your brackets for March Madness? And maybe you have more than one method. You can also find us on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. Your nightly fix of pivotal playoff action. It's time to count down to the crown.
James Harden stuck the triple. That was a steaming pile of awesome.
Right hand slam for Kevin Durant.
Melo got it. Cha-ching, a Thunder Buddy Ball.
Slam. Wall rising. The Tomahawk throwdown.
Turnaround three on the way.
Oh, he banked it in. LeBron James banked it in.
Oh, my word.
Shot. Get it.
Westbrook gives the Thunder the victory.
Here's Amy Lawrence.
We are mere weeks away from the start of both the NHL and the NBA playoffs. In fact, Championship Monday in college basketball, the men's side, is April 8th. The Stanley Cup playoffs see the puck drop 2 days later, and the NBA follows 3 days after that. It's hot and heavy in the springtime. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're trying to get you ready with all the top storylines. We let you hear the 61-foot three-pointer banked in at the end of the first quarter by Steph Curry as the Warriors were in San Antonio to take on the red-hot Spurs. However, Curry couldn't do it all by himself.
Number 3.
Bounce pass to DeRozan. He's going to post up on Thompson.
pivots, faces up, jab step with five to shoot, pulls up on the baseline, leans in, needs a little help, pivots, turnaround jumper, good! DeMar DeRozan with the basket. It's 111-105, 26 for DeRozan. Right wing DeRozan dribbles to the baseline, into the paint, reverse layup, good for DeMar DeRozan. He's got 24 and the Spurs lead by 7. 106-99. A screen by Aldridge into the lane. DeRozan out to the right wing. Bertans open three. Kristaps! Timeout, Steve Kerr. A big three-pointer there by Davis Bertans, who's number two in the league in three-point accuracy. He hits his first three-pointer tonight, and the Spurs lead 109-102.
Some kind of crazy atmosphere in San Antonio, and the Spurs, remember their awful, hideous rodeo road trip in February? They have rectified the situation, and because the West is so tight among the playoff teams, with their 9 consecutive wins, including the defending champs on Monday night, they're now up to 5th place in the conference standings. Bill Schoening with the call on the Spurs Radio Network. A whole lot of DeMar DeRozan, 26 points, 9 rebounds, and a double-double from LaMarcus Aldridge, and they just want to win. How about this? The Spurs have clinched a winning record for the 22nd straight season, though it might not have looked that way after they completely jostled their lineup, traded away Kawhi Leonard in the summer, brought in DeMar DeRozan. This is not your granddaddy's San Antonio Spurs, but they still have Greg Popovich as their head coach.
We worked very hard. We made a lot of mistakes against the best team in basketball, probably, you know, the defending NBA champs. And they move and cut better than anybody in the world. So it was a great classroom, so to speak, to be able to try to guard that all night long. And the effort was there for 48 minutes, and we learned a lot, hopefully. So that's a good thing.
Again, a 9-game win streak for the Spurs, and they're now tied with the Oklahoma City Thunder, though they do have the tie break. And get this. The Spurs and the Thunder are just 6 games back of the top teams in the Western Conference. Why do I say teams? Well, because the Golden State Warriors have company. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I know the Denver Nuggets appearance in Boston was very much about Isaiah Thomas finally getting to play, being healthy in a return to Boston where he spent, it didn't feel like that long, but some really dramatic moments. And so there was a lot of focus on IT, but the Nuggets aren't settling for number 2 in the West. In fact, if the Warriors can't pick up the pace a little, they may get overtaken by Denver.
Number 2.
Horford stops, hands off behind him, and he threw it away. Loose ball to Gary Harris. He's down the lane, fake the pass. Layup is good. The Nuggets lead it by 12, their big lead of the night. 3:40 to go. Monte Morris has it, high left side, top of the key to Nikola Jokic for 3. Yes, that's big. 98-95. Denver leads it by 8 in the fourth quarter. Beasley runs it down, gets a pick from Jokic, throws it to Jokic on the pick and pop for another 3. Got it again. Nikola Jokic has found the range from downtown, and the Nuggets lead it by 9.
Well, the Nuggets didn't allow the Celtics a whole lot of room to breathe in the fourth quarter, and Nikola Jokic with another double-double, 21 points, 13 rebounds. Will Barton chips in 20 points for the Nuggets. They've won 4 straight, but more importantly than that, they've tied the sagging Warriors atop the West, and they have made the playoffs. They've clinched a postseason berth for the first time in 6 years. As you can imagine, it was cause for smiling from Coach Mike Malone.
Oh, it's a great feeling. You know, 4 years in the making, 2 years in a row coming up just shy, 1 game short, using that as a motivation for tonight's moment. So happy for all of our guys, put a lot of time and work into this, but we still have a lot of work to do. You know, we're not satisfied with just making the playoffs. I think we realized early on this season we had a chance to be a special team, and that remains the case. So, you know, let's continue to fight, try to win as many games as we can and see where we wind up.
If you don't remember, the Nuggets won 46 games last year, but on the final day of the regular season, they fell to the Timberwolves in overtime and missed the playoffs. Overtime. So a little bit of twist when you think about the fact that they won their 47th game on Monday night and now, in fact, have tied the Warriors for best record in the West, but have also clinched a playoff berth for the first time since 2013. As for Isaiah Thomas, there was a tribute video that was played on the big screen by the Celtics after the first quarter, and everybody stopped and watched, and it featured a stretch in which he talked about losing his sister and what it meant to go through that with the city of Boston, to be in the postseason even in the days after he lost his sister in a car accident. So I teared up while I was watching it, and Isaiah Thomas was also extremely emotional.
I was emotional, I almost cried.
Well, we saw.
Almost? But yeah, almost. That was everything. I appreciate them for doing that. That meant a lot.
You had both the players and the coaches on both teams giving him a standing ovation, as well as all of the fans inside TD Garden. So a nice moment, though. It comes on a day in which Mike Malone told Thomas he was being dropped from the Nuggets rotation as they prepare for the playoffs. So this is his fourth team in under 2 years. Remember, Celtics traded him to the Cavaliers. The Cavaliers let him go. He ended up with the Lakers. The Lakers then didn't re-sign him to a contract, and he ended up with Denver, but he had to rehab the hip. So he's not playing well. He's not the same guy that was leading the NBA in fourth quarter scoring just two seasons ago and was an all-star with the Celtics. And he's been dropped from the Nuggets rotation, though he did get a couple of minutes on the court in Boston. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Dirk Nowitzki, 21 seasons in the NBA. And so by sheer longevity and the fact that he's a fossil, an amazing fossil, but he continues to climb the scoring charts in the league.
Number one.
Doncic at the top of the arc will drop it to Dirk straight away against Williams. Rise and fire. There it is. A revolutionary passes a revolutionary. 31,420 points in the magnificent career of Dirk Nowitzki.
Amazing. Obviously, it's been it's been a long time coming this season, you know, knowing before the year that was only 200-something points, and then there were times where I thought I'm not going to make it, you know, the way the season went, and with the injury, and then coming off the injury, it was just super, super slow, and but, you know, the last few weeks felt better, and been playing better, and the team obviously kept looking for me, kept telling me to shoot, so I'm glad it's over with now.
31,424 points. It's not over with, just, you know, moving to sixth on the NBA's all-time scoring list. But it was really amazing that it happened in Dallas. You can hear the crowd go crazy behind Chuck Cooperstein on the Mavericks radio network. And so congratulations to Dirk Nowitzki, who passes Wilt Chamberlain. Remember, we just had LeBron James pass Wilt Chamberlain, and now we see Dirk Nowitzki do the same thing. And so it's a lot of points. We don't know if it's the end of his career, though the tributes continue in every arena where he plays for what could be the last time. By the way, Jason Kosmicki is the voice of the Denver Nuggets radio network. I forgot to mention that. No Kawhi Leonard for the Toronto Raptors, but they still blow out the New York Knicks. They had 73 points. 73 points at halftime. And we're starting to see the Eastern Conference postseason come together as well. The Bucks, the Raptors, the Sixers have all clinched playoff spots. Getting down to the nitty-gritty. In case you are a big hockey fan, which I know you all are, the Tampa Bay Lightning have already locked up the President's Trophy as the best record in the NHL this season, and they've obviously clinched a playoff spot. And then the Calgary Flames, the first team in the West to lock up a postseason berth. It's coming. Ready or not, it is coming. The Stanley Cup playoffs, the NBA playoffs, immediately on the heels of March Madness. All right, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page, what's your best advice? Or maybe you don't want to share your advice. What's your best method for filling out your brackets in March Madness? I actually think many of you are scientific about it. So, Dish, let's hear what you have to say. I will tell you my methods, the method to my madness, if you tell me yours. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
12 to go in game seven, leading by six. Isaiah, right-hand dribble, bumped by Gortat, keeps it alive, attacks the paint, and scores off the window.
This is not going to be denied then. He kept turning the corner. I'm going.
29 for Isaiah.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
In the 2016-17 season, Isaiah Thomas led the NBA in fourth quarter scoring. He was the closer. And, of course, so much has changed since that fateful spring in which his sister died, far more important than the basketball, but his sister, China, died in a car accident in Washington State. He played anyway. So this was the eve of their opening round series against the Chicago Bulls. He played anyway. They dropped the first two games in Boston and then won the next four in a row. I can remember all of this like it was yesterday. They ended up making it to the Eastern Conference Finals. And do you know that at the time, Isaiah Thomas had a pair of green and gold sneakers designed for the NBA Finals? They were for the finals. They obviously didn't make it to the finals, but he wore those same shoes on Monday night in his healthy return. You may remember the controversy last year. I've never talked so much about tribute videos in my life. Oh, make me roll my eyes. But remember, there was a Paul Pierce night planned to honor the future Hall of Famer and longtime Celtic. And he put up a stink publicly when it appeared as though the Celtics were also going to air a tribute video for Isaiah Thomas on the same night. So it was a night when the, what team was he with then? The Cavaliers, I guess? I don't know. He's changed teams so many times. I think it became a moot point, right? He was with the Cavaliers. He ended up, before the trade deadline, getting shipped to Los Angeles. And then it didn't matter because he wasn't with the Cavaliers when they were in Boston. And so Paul Pierce had his night without any controversy. And Thomas has been back, or his teams have been back. He's played for now three teams since Boston. But this was the first time he was healthy enough to be on the court. He only played 7 minutes, though, and it looked like he was nervous. Or maybe the news that he's being dropped from the Nuggets rotation. Maybe that threw him for a loop, but it certainly would most human beings who play a sport for a living. And so it wasn't a great night for him, but they did have the tribute video with some really cool moments from his time in Boston. He was all heart. Heart and smarts, that's the hashtag that I use for that particular edition of the Boston Celtics, who seem like they overachieved. And Isaiah Thomas, the little engine that could, he was a big reason why. But man, life comes at you fast. That was only a year and a half ago. And now think about the arc of Thomas's career and the injuries, of course, that have really changed his speed and his explosiveness. Sean Grandy, the play-by-play voice on the Celtics Radio Network. I actually texted Sean to say that I got all teary watching the IT video, and he said it was good stuff. And I said the same thing I just said to you. Think about how much has changed since then. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The Denver Nuggets used that game in Boston, the win in Boston, to clinch a playoff spot for the first time since 2013. Right now tied with the Warriors atop the West standings. If you have not seen the locker room celebration led by Coach Mike Malone with the Nuggets and the craziness that's happening with water, not with champagne. They were squeezing water bottles and chucking water all over the place. So if you haven't seen that, it's fun. It's pure unadulterated joy. So check it out. Chris retweeted the video from inside the Nuggets facility, it was the Nuggets visiting locker room, and did that on our show Twitter after our CBS. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's brought to you toll free by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. If you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, you can get it all at geico.com. Now, our Twizzler Tuesday question, as we are anxious to get to Tuesday, which is the official start to March Madness with the first two games in Dayton coming up on Tuesday night as part of the first four. We're asking you, as you fill out your brackets, what are your methods? What are your surefire ways to win the office pool, or if you're one of those people that's now legally betting in a variety of states and places around the United States, what are your methods to win money? Because if you have money down, you better not screw up. So I'm getting some of your tweets, A-Law Radio, and also we put up a spot on our Facebook page. I don't even have the Facebook page open yet, but I will, I promise. The two games coming up on Tuesday night, Fairleigh Dickinson against Prairie View A&M. That winner will take on Gonzaga. So if you missed my conversation with sophomore forward Corey Kispert, well, that's part of our podcast as well as also on both our Facebook and Twitter pages. It was a good conversation with him. He's probably one of the best talkers I've had on the show in the last couple years following Selection Sunday. And then the second half of Tuesday's doubleheader is an 11 seed matchup. I don't really have to say that. It's a battle of 11 seeds in the East region, Temple and Belmont. So those are your two of your last four teams that made it in. I try not to be analytical when I fill out my brackets. For me, the idea is to pick upsets. Because if you don't pick upsets, well, then you can't separate yourself from the pack. The problem is, of course, picking the wrong upsets. Chris already filled out his bracket, so you get to go first. What did you do when you filled out your bracket? Give us some methods to your madness. I mean, you filled out the bracket within like 3 minutes of it coming out.
Yeah, it's a very chalky year, in my opinion.
Chalky year.
Yeah, so I went with...
I have a chalky ear. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Duke and Carolina actually meeting in the final.
Did you? Well, that's very cliche. But okay. So you're believing in the one seeds. What about the rest of the final four, though? This is not a regular practice for you to pick chalk. You actually think about these matchups and...
Yeah, I mean, I'll do some homework on an average year, but this year I felt like there was nothing that jumped off the page in terms of, oh, this is like a good sleeper team for this year. I kind of feel like all the big dogs are taking the reins this year.
Really? Did you pick Loyola Chicago last year?
No, I certainly did not.
Did you pick UMBC last year?
No, I certainly did not.
So the science of picking the upsets, Dave and I were talking about this before the show, because he said that he does, in fact, try to pick a few upsets. Okay, the issue is, how do you know which ones to pick? And I was thinking about, and he mentioned this too, you're thinking about if you just every year pick a bunch of upsets, I guess you're bound to hit on one now and then. But how many people do you think are picking 16s this year because of what happened last year? We Wait finally to me. Saw it, and now people are going to start picking all the 16s, right?
Yeah, that's not a recipe for success, or, you know, your wallet's not going to be happy at the end of that either. I did have Loyola Chicago last year in the
what?
Elite Eight. Yeah, but it was an educated guess at best, I'd say.
Yes, it was definitely a guess. You had them going to the Elite Eight?
Yeah. I just
Why?
I like their roster.
You like the colors?
Yeah, that's what it is. No, I like to look at teams' rosters, and I think if there's certain rosters that are built for the tournament, mm-hmm. they have three-point shooting, and they also have a big man and point guard play, that's kind of the style that you need, and that was just a good shooting team. And it they got hot was. At the right moment.
They did, and they hit some pretty crazy shots, too. I mean, it's not like they were blowing teams out. They had some major drama down the stretch in their games. I always like the teams that have senior leadership. Because very often when it comes to the smaller schools or the, in fact, like the case of Colgate, for instance, they have 3,000 kids in their school. 3,000. Like, that's it. It's a pretty small pool to choose from. But if you have seniors who have played 4 years, and especially if they've had some, maybe not tournament experience, but they've had some practice against, you know, power conference, non-conference foes, I tend to like those. But you're right, a really strong point guard is key. I wish big men were more important these days in college basketball, but unless you've got one like Zion Williamson, I don't know, it feels like they've become more and more obsolete, which breaks my heart. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So let's see. Some of your tweets, A-Law Radio. Randy says, my method is always think upsets and always look through the team analytics and look at tendencies. What? That sounds really boring. He says in all caps, seeds mean nothing. Oh, sure they do. Not only do they mean that you get to play geographically, in many cases, closer to your fan base. Now, it doesn't always mean that, but it does also mean, if you're a real high seed, that you are not likely to face another team that's been seeded as high as you or ranked as high as you for a couple of rounds. So it's definitely set up, and the process has tilted toward those teams that end up as the higher seeds. Doesn't mean you don't have to play well. It just means, come on, if you are a one seed and you get to play a 16 every year, yes, I get it. Sometimes those 16s put up a major fight, but it's only happened one time in the history of the world that a 16 is upset a one. So yeah, you get favorable matchups early on. Let's see, another tweet. Here's my surefire method to March Madness. If you want to see any money ever, make sure your bracket has big upsets to separate from the pack and own it. Carter says on Twitter, pick at least one or two 5-12 and 4-13 upsets because they seem to happen every year. Yes, but what happens if you pick the wrong two? Sometimes I've done brackets where I picked all 4-12 seeds, knowing that we were going to have at least one. I'll get you some of the numbers on the 5-12 upsets. But there are times when I've gone opposite of chalk on those particular matchups. Steven says, don't pick Duke to win the title because everyone else is. Now, that is an interesting method, right? If everybody in your bracket has the same champion and that champion doesn't, in fact, end up winning, you can come from behind. You can come roaring back with a major rally in the Final Four. Now, remember how this works. You get points for every win. And as you go round by round, the points increase exponentially. So even if you've lost, say, half of your Sweet 16, but your Final Four is still intact, or you've lost half of your Sweet 16, but it's all on one side of the bracket, and you're continuing to get points on the other side of the bracket, you still can win the tournament. It really is about kind of putting it up on the wall and throwing darts at it. Because again, you're guessing. Brian says on Twitter, eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Sometimes. Although Randy insists that he looks at the analytics. Oh, come on. That's taking all the fun out of it. So what's your method? The method to your madness. Again, on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Oh, Chris put up a show poll. Which method have you had more success with while filling out your March Madness bracket? Lots of research, chalk all the way, totally random. Wait, does totally random include uniform colors? Does totally random include mascots? I'm not kidding you. I have friends whose kids fill out their brackets based on the animals, the mascots, and sometimes they do better than the adults in the room. That should very well indicate you should not be laying down your hard-earned money. And yet, think about all the 16 seeds that are getting money put on them this year. I can't do it. I had a friend who was a passionate gambler, say to me one time, the reason you stink at gambling is because you're not prepared to lose. Well, damn right. I need that money. I'm not prepared to lose that money ever at all. So no, I'm a terrible loser. I'm like Cam Newton when it comes to losing. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.